What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna...
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, Bills fans. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. Free agency is only 1 week away, and we thought this would be a good time to talk about some under-the-radar wide receivers coming out in free agency. By the way, I'm joined by my co-host, John, for this episode. John, you ready to talk some under-the-radar wide receivers for the Buffalo Bills that could potentially be wearing a Buffalo Bills uniform in just a few months?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Let's do it. Hey, real quick, coronavirus check. No coronavirus, correct?
No, although my daughter has the flu.
Okay, well, that's cool. Flu is fine, man. Flu is all good. We're just going to talk about some under the radar wide receivers. We ran a Twitter poll a few weeks ago about, you know, if you could choose one position for the Bills to upgrade dramatically this offseason, what would it be? And 62% of the people that participated in the poll said wide receiver. And I really can't disagree with what a lot of the Twitter followers and people in Bills Twitter said. And so I thought this would be a perfect chance to talk about it on this episode.
Offensive lineman myself.
You're an offensive lineman, right? Is that what you voted for?
Sure. Yeah, I voted.
62% went wide receiver, 25% went defensive end, and 11% went offensive line. So I think there's definitely something to be said for offensive line, and I would be very surprised if they don't add at least one or two decent pieces in free agency. And the draft, I would say. At least one in the draft, too, as well. But maybe we'll save that. I don't know. Maybe next week we'll talk about offensive linemen. I don't know. We'll see. It's all up in the air. You never know. Things change.
Obviously all needs, right? I mean, they need everything, so.
They need everything. I actually put cornerback on this list, too, just because I was seeing a lot of mock drafts where defensive backs, safeties, cornerbacks were being mocked to the Bills. I'm like, what is this? What is that coming from? So... Yeah, absolutely. I mean, upgrades at a lot of positions. As far as I'm concerned, we'll get into it more when we talk about the draft and draft strategies and stuff like that. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, everything's on the board pretty much. You know, there'd be very few things that I'd be upset about if they actually drafted or signed a big name free agent at that position. So let's talk about free agency. Everyone knows by now, I'm sure, if you've listened to this podcast network, which, you know, Anthony and the guys have done a great job going over the elite wide receivers, or the quote unquote elite wide receivers coming out into free agency this year. You have, you know, Amari Cooper, AJ Green, stuff like that. You know, we think about that because the Bills have, you know, some really decent wide receiver depth. Although it is a little bit old, you have John Brown and Cole Beasley both in their 30s this year. And, you know, you have to wonder, you know, after that, there's just a big gap in the talent on the Buffalo Bills roster. You know, after that, you have the likes of Isaiah McKenzie, Robert Foster, Duke Williams. I mean, it is just a hodgepodge of guys that were either undrafted CFL guys, you know, sixth round picks that were cut by their, you know, their first team. And it's just the Bills lack a lot when it comes to that number three wide receiver. And I think we would both agree, John, that the Bills are going to address that position in the draft no matter what, with a, you know, like round one, two, or three pick. But I think, you know, we have to discuss about who are they going to sign in free agency to kind of fill that gap while the draft pick you know, acclimates himself to the NFL. I think this regime is very good at signing depth and free agency, and then also drafting. They kind of cover both bases. You know what I mean? Like, they signed Tyler Kroft last year as a veteran option, you know, not an elite veteran option by any means, but just like as a depth piece to bring up to speed their rookies in this case, Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney. And I think that was a smart play. Of course, they didn't know that Tyler Kroft was going to get injured on the very first day of, you know, minicamp, but you know, they definitely want to cover all their bases. So I think this is a good time to talk about these guys that will be like second or third tier wide receivers that might be a 1 or 2 year gap to kind of bring this rookie and or rookies wide receivers up to snuff. Would you agree with that assessment, John, with where I think Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott will go?
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I would do. I'd probably bring in another receiver and draft at least one guy. I think they really need a number one receiver, and not, you know, unless they get like AJ Green, that's going to have to be through the draft. But if, you know, if it's going to take time to develop, then, you know, a third receiver would be good.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the times we talk about the Bills needing an elite wide receiver, you know, a big 6'4" sort of Julio Jones or, you know, Calvin Johnson type wide receiver. And a lot of the times, I guess my retort to that would be, you know, look at those guys that are considered that are the Julio Joneses of the league. And even like the shorter, you know, elite wide receivers like Odell Beckham Jr., who's only 5'11", you know, Antonio Brown for a while, who's 5'10". You know, you look at these teams that have those guys, and I guess the only thing I would say to that is really those guys, those teams don't really tend to do very well for the most part. You rarely see a Super Bowl winner out of those guys. You know, when you talk about the really elite wide receivers. I mean, how many Super Bowls did Calvin Johnson win, right? And he always, for the most part, was the best wide receiver on the field.
Well, he played for the Lions.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, it doesn't seem to elevate a team into, you know, Super Bowl contenders every year, every other year, or anything like that. I mean, look at the Patriots all these seasons. They never had, except for when they had Randy Moss for those few seasons, they never really had an elite wide receiver. Like,
but they
that.
Have a complete team too. So, like, if you factor in what the Bills have already built with the defense that they have, and you know, if they put a few more pieces together on the offensive line and bring in another receiver, like they're going to be right there. I think they'll have a more complete team than say some of those Lions teams or some of those Bengals teams.
Yeah, Bengals teams with AJ Green, which you know we're going to discuss a little bit. But yeah, what have the Bengals done with AJ Green? Right? I mean, it's just Amari Cooper with the Dallas Cowboys this last season. You know, they didn't even make the playoffs. So, you know, it's definitely great to have. I want more talent at the wide receiver position. So I guess, you know, let's talk about the top tier real quick. Amari Cooper, AJ Green. It's very possible that neither of these guys hit the open market in general. So we might be talking about them as far as, you know, a potential free agent target, but neither of these, there's been discussion of AJ Green being franchise tagged, and it's very possible that Amari Cooper gets franchise tagged if Dak Prescott doesn't get tagged. And you know, very rarely do teams let go of these really great wide receivers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if the Bills were able to land them, you know, even if they hit the open market. But you know,
yeah,
you hope for it.
You never know. The Bills right now are 15th highest in the league in positional spending at the wide receiver position with $20.5 million. If they added an Amari Cooper-like receiver, which he's the only one in that class, really, this free agency, they'd easily be first, if not first in the league, with over $40 million spending this season on wide receivers. So just from that standpoint, I don't see it happening, even if they had a chance to do that. I say this, though, and, you know, they were definitely, you know, in kicking the tires on Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. I think that they're always exploring those opportunities, but it's very rare that I think they go, you know, they go all in and try to make a guy the highest paid at his position. And that, and a lot of the past few years, they really haven't invested a ton of draft capital in wide receivers. I mean, you think about like 6th-round pick Ray McCloud, 7th-round pick Austin Prohl. They just really haven't spent a lot on that position in draft needs. Now, you can discuss Zay Jones, you know, a few years ago with a 2nd-round pick, which they traded up for. And that was definitely someone that they pick. But, you know, I'm always worried about that draft because sometimes I want to give, I feel like I want to give McDermott the credit for all of that draft, even though Doug Whaley was the GM, you know what I mean? If anything good happens, Tre'Davious White, oh, that was definitely Sean McDermott's pick, right? And then the Zay Jones pick, you know, the next round later, I'm like, oh, that, well, that was Doug Whaley's scouting, of course. It's like, I never want to take any credit away from Sean McDermott. I just give it, just never give any to Doug Whaley. But anyway, they just haven't spent.
What was that Doug Whaley quote?
To win in this business, it's about two things. It's about players and winning.
So good.
So good. Oh, man. Could you imagine him trying to sell the organization and the franchise to other pro football, like free agents? Like, hey, man, you want to come here? You're like half of what it takes to win. You're literally half of this equation. What's the other half? It's winning. All right. Damn it. It's winning. And you will be part of that other half too. You're 100% of what it takes. Man, it's funny now. It was frustrating as hell then, but it's funny now. You know what? Another funny thing is I, you know, just thinking about wide receivers in general, is wide receivers are funny in the fact that they're a lot of times are just so quarterback dependent in the fact that, you know, you could have a guy that's uber talented, but in the wrong system with the wrong quarterback, especially, they might be completely phased out of the offense, but with a new team, they might do great, right? So you're thinking of guys that, you know, like Randy Moss, for example. Randy Moss was amazing with the Vikings, went to the Raiders, was terrible, went to the Patriots, and resurrected his career completely, right? Like, think about that with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was possibly considered a first-round bust after all these, you know, after, you know, 3 or 4 years with the Oakland Raiders and them never being able to utilize him correctly and having a first round. I think he was the first, if not one of the first wide receivers taken in that draft. And then he comes to Dallas and he has over 1,000 yards receiving. You know, it's just night and day when you put them with the right quarterback.
There is a pattern there, right? The Raiders. And it's not just with receivers either.
So you think it's so that's what's great about that is that lends into a lot of the discussion about the potential wide receiver prospects that we're going to discuss, because a lot of them, they either like have okay to decent or crappy quarterback situations, or they're buried behind other people that are much more talented than them, just on paper at least. So again, unlikely that the Bills, you know, get a top-tier wide receiver in free agency. By the way, speaking about wide receivers that resurrected their career, I mean, look at John Brown, right? John Brown had an amazing first half of his season with the Baltimore Ravens just one season ago, and with Joe Flacco as his quarterback, he's well on pace for over 1,000 yards receiving that season. And then Lamar Jackson, you know, comes in with the Joe Flacco injury, and then, you know, he has one touchdown for like the last 6 or 7 games, and he's basically phased out of the offense. Like, that's like, even in season, to a wide receiver having a great season, like, that's how much the quarterback matters, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, we're looking at some under the radar guys, and as far as like even injury history goes and stuff like that, I feel like the front office of the Buffalo Bills don't really care about that. They don't really care if a guy's been injured before, because you look at guys like Mitch Morse, Trent Murphy, Tyler Croft, Kevin Johnson last season. I mean, they have no problem looking at guys that are injured. So, you know, we already mentioned Amari Cooper, AJ Green, Anthony Marino did a great job of that several weeks ago about talking about those guys in depth. But let's talk about, you know, a couple of guys that are, you know, picking up a little bit of steam and but could easily be, you know, a guy on the radar. And I think the first guy we have to talk about, John, is Devin Funchess. Now, Devin Funchess was a draft pick of the Carolina Panthers in 2015. He is a 6'4", 232-pound monster. The guy actually had a pretty decent 40 time. I mean, really good. 4.47 at his pro day. You know, he was a two-time second team All Big Ten selection out of Michigan, and he had a decent career with the he was a second round pick, decent career with the Carolina Panthers. Here's a guy that's an outside receiver and doesn't look like, at least through the tape I've seen, game-breaking speed, but he just seems to have reliable hands. Now, you know, one of his weaknesses has been stated that he doesn't really try to catch the ball with his hands. He allows the throws to go into his frame. He seems to like, to him, pass catching is labored. And whenever you hear that, you automatically think of Kelvin Benjamin, right? I mean, you have like a 6'4", 6'5" guy, huge, big-bodied guy, and, you know, he doesn't really, he struggles with his hands sometimes. but, you know, this is a guy that has that relationship with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. And this could easily be a guy that's on their radar as, you know, he broke his collarbone and I believe it was like the first preseason game or the first game of the NFL season for the Colts, and then just was lost. He took a one-year deal and, you know, bet on himself, and unfortunately it didn't go well. The Bills could get a guy like Devin Funchess on a one-year, you know, $5 to $6 million deal. And I feel like that guy would give them the size and a little bit of speed and the ability to box out guys and, you know, high point balls where, you know, the Bills don't really have that with their first two wide receivers in John Brown and Cole Beasley, both under 6 foot, both in their 30s. And it provides a little bit, and it, like I said, give it that flex, that gap in between the rookies, which wide receiver rookies usually take a year or two to really come up to speed. You know, kind of gives them that gap, that cushion to learn the game and bring them up to speed before they become a major part of this offense. John, what do you think about Devin Funchess?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with everything you said. He's a good route runner too. They're definitely missing a bigger guy. I don't know if he's going to be like your number one guy who's going to be getting all these contested balls necessarily, but he definitely is a factor in the red zone for sure.
Yeah, I think the red zone is going to be huge for a guy like that. And just his pedigree and his youth, I think he's just going to be an upgrade over Duke Williams in that position. Duke Williams, I think, played a little bit more slot this season, but I think Devin Funchess would be a good, you know, intermediate for the other outside guy opposite of John Brown on the other side of the field. So he creates mismatches, a guy that, you know, the Bills don't really have on the roster right now because, you know, I mean, we expect Dawson Knox to take a step forward this offseason, and, you know, it's just going to take some time. But here you have a guy that's already, you know, he's been in the league for, this will be his fifth season. So looking forward to seeing that. John, you had a guy that was buried on the depth chart behind a couple of very good wide receivers and the Chiefs. So who's your guy that you like?
I was going to say DeMarcus Robinson. He's another young guy. He's only been in the league for 4 years. His production has increased a little bit each year. He's versatile. He can play different receiver positions. But he's not like a 6'4 guy. I think he's like 6'1.
Yep.
But like I say, he's versatile. He can get, you know, yards after the catch. And like you said, he's been buried on the depth chart, so he hasn't had a ton of opportunities with Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Watkins, and all these other guys.
Yeah, Watkins definitely picking up in the second half of the season. And you know what's funny? So DeMarcus Robinson was a fourth round pick of the Chiefs in 2016. The guy had a pretty slow 40 time. He's a 4.6 40, 4.59 40, excuse me. and, you know, it was just one of those things, like, I agree, he just caught behind some very veteran, great receivers. Tyreek Hill, only 5'10". We're talking about guys needing to be 6'4" or whatever, you know, or at least that's the stereotype. But, you know, you have a guy like, you know, Tyreek Hill, who is unbelievable. What a great wide receiver he is for the Kansas City Chiefs. So you realize that you don't really need that guy. But again, 6'1", he would be the tallest receiver if he were to be the wide receiver three, the top wide receiver out of those three, 6'1", 203 pounds. I echo your sentiment, John, completely about the yards after catch. The Bills really lack that. And I don't know if that's a matter of Josh Allen throwing these guys open and giving them a chance. But I mean, you know, you and I were watching some tape on it, and the guy just seems to find himself open. He was catching contested balls, and the yards after catch was just, I mean, he just didn't go down easily. You know, he kind of reminds me a little bit, because I don't want to take any credit away from Devin Singletary, but a little bit like Devin Singletary, like you thought he was going to go down a few times, ends up getting, you know, 4 or 5 more yards or even more, you know? All right, one of the guys now I want to discuss, I want to talk about, is former first-round pick Brashad Perriman. Now, Brashad Perriman is kind of, you know, him, he and DeMarcus Robinson have definitely gotten a lot more discussion in free agency because it looks more and more likely that AJ Green's going to be tagged. So then you kind of look at, you know, the guys after that. And I would say, you know, there's guys definitely like Robbie Anderson, who is one of the biggest potential free agents, you know, out there. And Brashad Perriman is definitely up there. Now, Brashad Perriman had a resurrection in his career. He was selected in the first round in 2018 by the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, he was just riddled with injuries his entire career, never lived up to the status that he was drafted. He's 6'2", 212 pounds. I mean, the guy had everything on paper. You know, his 40-yard dash on his pro day was 4.24, 4.27. I mean, that's unbelievable speed for a guy that big. And he was a great college. People were telling him, like, his NFL comparison was Josh Gordon, all right? Like, that's pretty incredible. And not the Josh Gordon that was suspended for, like, 5 out of 6 seasons. It was like, you know, like, he has a rare combination of, you know, size, top-end speed, and suddenness. You know, it's just, the guy has all the tools, and he didn't really put it together until the second half of last season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And some injuries along there, really, I mean, they're stout wide receiving core. When you talk about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, right? So the guy's buried behind Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. When an injury happens, he finally steps up, shows his potential. I could definitely see the Bills going after a guy like that for like a 1 year, like $6 to $7 million deal. And I think the guy has shown he can play in the slot on the outside. And, yeah, I was pretty impressed with what I see. John, would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you said it.
So, John, we mentioned, you know, a few guys off the bat. We discussed Brashad Perriman, Devin Funchess, DeMarcus Robinson. So here's one that's this would be interesting because here's someone that I thought showed a lot of promise his rookie season, and then I think he was the unfortunate recipient of poor offenses and poor quarterbacks in front of him. And that's Tajay Sharp of the Tennessee Titans. Now, here's a guy that's 6'2", has a much more slender frame than all the other guys we talked about at 194. That was his, you know, that was his knock coming out of college from Massachusetts in 2018. And, you know, he just doesn't seem to have gotten a lot bigger in that area, at least from what I could see on tape. He had a 4.5 40-yard dash. He's one of those guys that just, like, he gets into routes quickly. He can shake press coverage. He's just a great route runner in general, has athleticism, doesn't have the top-end speed. And because he has a little bit smaller of a frame, he has issues with, you know, press coverage and sometimes can't get a clean release. He really needs to get better at, like, using his body effectively to shield the catch and, like, create space. And like I said, the speed is just an issue. So, I mean, with all of these guys that we're talking about, I mean, we kind of alluded to it earlier. I mean, none of these guys are going to be unbelievable or else they wouldn't be the 1 or 2 year contract kind of guys. Those guys that are elite, they'd never usually hit the market, right? So now you're looking for the diamonds in the rough, right? And Tajay Sharp is one of those guys. I remember, you know, picking him up in fantasy a few times and just being, you know, and like he'd have great weeks and then some awful weeks. He scored 2 touchdowns in 1 week and then 1 week he wouldn't have a catch, right? He's like one of those guys. But at the same time, you know, you look at Corey Davis, a first round pick ahead of him that hasn't really produced as much as he should have in his career so far in the NFL. And then you think, oh, well, who was his quarterback? Who has been both of their quarterbacks? An underwhelming Marcus Mariota that got benched this last year, but probably won't get re-signed to a second contract with the Titans. You have Ryan Tannehill, which all Bills fans know about. The guy's not the best quarterback out there, hence why they relied on Derrick Henry throughout the playoffs. I mean, I could see Tajay Sharp as one of those in-between guys who has talent. He just hasn't had a chance to really show it. And could potentially be on the Bills' radar in free agency. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to The Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
How would you rank the guys that we talked about?
So I like Funchess the most from what I've seen, just because I think he provides something different that the Bills don't have. Because none of these guys really provide, you know, the size and speed and great hands and everything else. And I think, you know, Funchess was more or less just a product of, you know, just an unfortunate injury, right? I mean, it was a broken collarbone. It wasn't like a soft tissue or a foot injury where you have to worry about these guys really aggravating, you know, every year from here on out, like a Sammy Watkins sort of, you know, foot injury, right? I think I would rank Devin Funchess first, and then I think it's between DeMarcus Robinson of the Chiefs or Breshad Perriman from the Bucks. And I think I would, man, I liked what DeMarcus Robinson showed. I think I would, as crazy as that sounds, I think I would put him number two, Perriman number three, Tajay Sharp number four. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I probably would have ranked them the same, actually. I do like Robinson a lot.
Yeah, right? Second? Yeah. Is he your second?
Yeah, maybe even number one.
Ooh, all right. All right, I mean, there's... Yeah.
Right, I mean, you know what? I'll do AJ Green number one.
AJ Green. John, the Bills aren't going to sign AJ Green, okay? It would be cool. Don't get me wrong. Just like, well, like, what do you think? Do you think this is completely off topic? But what do you think about the Bills trading for Stephon Diggs? There's rumors about, you know, him being, you know, you have a guy like that who has the talent, who's proven talent, and you know he's definitely shown that he hasn't been happy with the offense and the way Kirk Cousins has been a quarterback, or maybe the way that the franchise is headed. And if you could get a guy like Stephon Diggs, would you trade for him?
Yes.
Yes. Now, what would you give up for him? Now, that's the real question.
As little as possible.
I was thinking about this today. I would give up at least a first round pick for Stephon Diggs. He's a proven commodity, but you're also taking on a ton of cap space. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I know it's a lot. You're talking, he's going to be the highest paid wide receiver on your roster, right?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, especially giving up a first round pick, but I mean, he's a number one receiver. I mean, when was the last time they had number one receiver? Moulds?
Yeah, no kidding. Moulds was by far the best all around wide receiver we've had, maybe ever, right?
Well, I mean, Andre Reed.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as like speed, size, everything, I mean, there was nothing I feel like Eric Moulds didn't have for Buffalo. As far as, you know, being the complete, I mean, Andre Reed was amazing at what he did.
And Albert Davidian, Golden Wheels.
Wait, what? Who?
Complete the 60 for the Bills.
Albert Davidian?
Davidian.
Davidian? Okay, yeah.
D-U-B-I-O-N.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What year did he play?
In the 60s.
Okay, well, that's why I never heard of him, John. I told you, I only go as far as Jim Kelly. And then I don't know anyone before that. Except Cookie Gilchrist and O.J. Simpson. But I know there were other guys. Joe DeLamalur. Yeah, I do know about him. All right, cool.
Billy Shaw.
Yeah, okay, Billy Shaw. Yep, I've heard of his name as well.
Jack Duncan.
Jack Kemp. I have heard of Jack Kemp only because he was a senator also. it's off the rails too. I would absolutely trade. John, would you trade a first rounder for, what about a first and like a third? I mean, cause you're talking about if you draft a guy, this is how I always look at trades, right? That's why I was okay with the Kelvin Benjamin trade at the time. Now, I didn't know that he was going to be a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end for the Buffalo Bills at the time. But I liked Kelvin Benjamin because I think we gave up a third round pick for him, right? And you're like, okay, well, what are the odds that a third round pick wide receiver is already ready to start in the NFL from day one, right? Kelvin Benjamin was supposedly ready to start for the Bills from the moment he got in the door, at least the next season, right? The next season, second season.
Like a fourth round pick.
Wasn't who a first round pick?
Andre Reed, wasn't he a fourth rounder?
Yes. Yes. But, you know, it's rare. It's just not completely common. That's how I look at this. So if I'm looking at Stephon Diggs and I'm saying, what would I give up for him? I'm saying, you know, what round could I draft a guy like that? I mean, Stephon Diggs was a sixth round pick if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, could I get that kind of,
yeah, I give up a six for him.
Yeah. Yeah. A six round pick. Wow. Wow. But you're also taking on cap space too. So you have to figure, you know, not only you're getting a proven commodity, you're taking on a lot of cap space and you're giving up a big draft pick. So I don't know. I look at it from that point of view. So first round pick to me, I would personally do it because you think wide receiver is one of your biggest needs. Well, it fills your need. You sure you don't have your first round pick anymore, but you don't need it to pick up that wide receiver anymore. So the second round pick, maybe you go defensive end, maybe you go offensive lineman. You know, you can still get those guys, you know, and still in free agency. So, you know, but that's just how I see it. I do want to bring up one last complete under the radar wide receiver free agent. And I only look at this because we're just talking about the Vikings. We're just talking about Stephon Diggs. We're just talking about, you know, wide receivers with guys in front of them that are much more talented. You think about the Minnesota Vikings. You think about Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, very, very good wide receivers, possibly the best tandem wide receivers in the league, maybe top five. And a guy that was stuck behind them all this time has been Laquon Treadwell of the Minnesota Vikings, 6'2", 221-pound wide receiver. You know, he was a first-round pick in the 2018 draft. You know, he didn't run a fast, he's not a great speed guy. And, but he was one of those guys that just, you know, he blew up at Ole Miss. He was the number one prospect in the country. And, you know, he became, he's a Treadwell. He had 82 catches and 1,153 yards and 11 touchdowns in his last season at Ole Miss. He was a Biletnikoff Award winner. I think he's one of those guys that he just doesn't have like that complete vertical speed, but you're not going to get a 6'2" guy that has amazing vertical speed, you know, with like a 1 year, $4 million contract. Right. And I think that's what you're looking for with a lot of these guys that we're looking at, minus potentially the Breshad Perrimans, the DeMarcus Robinsons, and the Devin Funches. When you talk about Tajay Sharp, Laquon Treadwell, this is an upgrade over Isaiah McKenzie. This is an upgrade over Duke Williams and Robert Foster. And the only reason I say that is because if you look at the Pro Football Focus receiving scores, not the overall grades, but the receiving grades for the guys that I mentioned in this past season, you look at Duke Williams has a 69 receiving grade from Pro Football Focus. Isaiah McKenzie is 67 receiving grade from Pro Football Focus. Tajay Sharp, 72 receiving grade. And you look at a guy like Treadwell, and he has a 74.5. So he has actually the highest of Sharp, McKenzie, Foster, and Duke Williams. So I look at these guys. They're all potential. They're under the radar guys. A guy that can last you 1 or 2 years as a gap guy. And I think that, you know, they have the size that all Buffalo Bills fans are looking for. They're over 6 foot. Man, we have such a low bar for height, don't we? Just, are you 6 foot? Because you're probably going to be one of our best wide receivers.
Remember when like Ryan Fitzpatrick was gonna be our stopgap at quarterback, and he was there for like 5-6 years or however long it was? Yeah.
Yes, I miss Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, he was gonna be our stopgap quarterback at the time, and yeah. So, but you know, we were just talking about wide receivers not doing well, you know, with certain quarterbacks. I mean, just look at Robert Woods, for example. Robert Woods was a second round pick out of USC. He underperformed, I would say, in his 4 years here, not of his fault. I wouldn't say he just didn't get the ball that often. He goes to the Rams. He has a 1,000-yard season. You know, it's just that's how this league goes. Guys that are underutilized like Robert Woods and potentially a DeMarcus Robinson or Tajay Sharpe or Devin Funchess and all these other guys, you know, they have a spot. It's unlike, I guess I would compare it to like other positions in the league. Like how often do you see like a defensive end that doesn't do well with their first team and ends up getting cut or released or testing free agency and then just blows up, right? I mean, how many Jordan Phillipses are there where, you know, a defensive tackle that gets cut by the Dolphins, gets claimed off of waivers, has 9.5 sacks? Like that just doesn't happen that often, right? Like with some positions, you rarely get like guys that don't show up and then all of a sudden they go to another team. Like think of Jerry Hughes. Jerry Hughes was underutilized as like a 3-4 rush linebacker, edge linebacker with the Colts. He gets traded to the Bills, goes into his natural position as a 4-3 defensive end, and he has an amazing season. He has over 10 sacks, right? So it's a lot of, this is a perfect position to look at these deeper, you know, these really under the radar guys that we've mentioned. And you can see the Bills easily picking up. I'll mention a couple of more without going too much into depth. Potentially Nelson Agholor from the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, another guy that's kind of been caught up, you know, in behind some better receivers like Alshon Jeffrey, you know, Zach Ertz, guys like that. One thing I will say, I forgot to mention about Laquon Treadwell, is that he was cut from the Vikings earlier in the season. I don't think it's likely that the Bills pick him up because he did go into waivers and he wasn't picked up by the Buffalo Bills when he was cut. He eventually gets re-signed by the Minnesota Vikings. I believe it was in week 4. So, you know, again, under the radar guys, a guy that could potentially be, you know, picked up. I mentioned Nelson Agholor from the Philadelphia Eagles. I think Farrell Cooper could potentially be another guy from the Arizona Cardinals at wide receiver that could be picked up. A guy that's, you know, been behind other great wide receivers like Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald. So just didn't really get a chance to get to make a name for himself yet. And another guy that had a great season, 70.3 Pro Football Focus receiving grade. So again, better than the Bills wide receiver 3 or whatever they've put on the field since then. So this has just been a fun exercise. It's fun to talk about guys that the Bills could get and to, at this point, kind of be a little bit more realistic about it. So this was fun, John.
I had fun.
So next week, I'm working on an interview, but we might discuss some under-the-radar defensive ends for the Buffalo Bills and some positions. Like I said, you know, 62% of Bills fans are looking to, you know, upgrade wide receiver, but, you know, 24% want defensive end. So there's going to be a lot of guys out there, too, that, you know, the Bills could potentially look at. You know, how nice is it, by the way, that the Bills don't have to make a decision on cutting Trent Murphy right now, you know? Like, the Bills could say, we mentioned that a couple of podcasts ago about cut or keep Trent Murphy, and the Bills don't have to cut him to save $8 million right now to sign one of these wide receivers. Like, they have enough cap space that they can sign him and then see what else is out there. And if they don't have 4 defensive ends that are better than Trent Murphy, then they just keep Trent Murphy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not a bad deal.
Yeah, so again, thank you guys all for listening to this discussion on some under-the-radar wide receivers. Would love your input on them. Let us know of other guys that you're thinking of that are out there. Posted this question on Twitter, and some people were already mentioning DeMarcus Robinson and Laquon Treadwell, which is pretty cool. I was very surprised because I was looking at these guys. And I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I'm the only one thinking that. There's a couple of Bills fans out there. They're almost as astute as us. So that's nice to see. So thank you guys all for listening. Appreciate you guys catching up with us in the offseason. Free agency is only a week away, at least only a week away from the tampering period. The official start of free agency is March 18th, but the tampering period is March 16th. So that'll be fun a week from now. Looking forward to that. So for John.
AJ Green, Buffalo Bills, Super Bowl.
For me, Nate. Go Bills, Tajay Sharpe, Laquan, DeMarcus Robinson, Rashad, all these guys. I would love to see any of them in a Bills uniform, get another chance, and just be better than Isaiah McKenzie. So go Bills. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.